We had a really short class this morning in the temple. It's Saturday Sankirtan, so devotees go out early. It was just about 20 minutes long. But it was very nice reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is from the Antya Lila, where Rupa Goswami's second meeting with the Lord is described. And this particular portion of that meeting is Ramananda Roy's literary or conversation about Rupa Goswami's literary achievement, the writing of Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and Ramananda Roy's inquiring about the different literary embellishments, ingredients, and necessary elements in the book. And here he was asking about the following Bhavira Svabhav. Roy kahe kahadeki bhavira svabhav rupa kahe oichi haya krishna vishayaka bhav. He says, Ramananda Roy inquired, what are the characteristics of emotional love? Rupa Goswami replied, this is the nature of emotional love for Krishna. And then quotes a verse which translated says, my dear beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of God defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss, which pours down and defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian. There is a later statement, I think, by Ramananda Roy, who concludes that what is the use of literature if it does not pierce the heart, melt the heart with its wonderful descriptions of loving pastimes, and if that melting of the heart does not invoke tear within the tears within the eyes. In other words, that spiritual literature is meant to be felt as a consequence of being heard, because we are sentient living entities, rasa-vaisa, and the ultimate purpose of transcendental literature is to establish rasa and to awaken rasa, or taste, within the heart, actually awaken mellow or relationship with Krishna, and the taste of that mellow, which here is bhavira svabhav, which is love for Krishna. So what does it taste like? And it's described here. It has two different types of tastes. One is like nectar and one is like poison. And that's a long topic, and it wasn't what we discussed at class. Now I'm going to discuss it here. But what is worthy of note is that Ramananda Roy questions Rupa Goswami about so many basic elements of composition, which are not unique to Vedic literature. They're unique to all types of literature. At least they were in the past. For instance, in modern literature, we find that poetry no longer has to rhyme. It no longer has to fit into the specific meters, iambic pentameter, or whatever you have that are traditional meters. And neither it has to make sense. Neither it has to have a conclusion or a goal. For Vedic literature, Vedashchisa Rehameva Vedya, Krishna must be the goal. And the goal must be in Kali Yuga direct. It must be directly, clearly, emphatically stated so that there's no misunderstanding. And this is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vyasadeva, after indirectly glorifying Krishna through the Vedas, including the Mahabharata, So he said, well, I've done all this, I'm the author, but I'm not feeling bhav. I'm not feeling any rasa. I'm not feeling any prema. So it must be because I haven't directly glorified Krishna. And then Narada Muni comes and he says, he says, yes, you haven't directly glorified Krishna. Therefore, that literature which is not directly glorifying Krishna, it is like a bhayasam tirtha. It's like a holy place for crows. So imagine that, telling Vyasadeva that his literature was like a place of pilgrimage for crows. He says that the paramahamsas, the swans, they won't go to such a place. So Narada Muni says that the indirect glorification of Krishna is not going to work in this day and age. You have to directly glorify Krishna. And that is the purpose of real Vedic literature, is to glorify. By that glorification, invoke real bhav within the heart. And of course, for rasa to manifest, there have to be such elements such as vibhav and anubhav and sanchaya bhav and sattvika bhav, and all of this has to be built upon a concept of stai bhav, or who are you, and that who are you must be at least that one understands that I'm Nitya Krishna Das, I'm Krishna's eternal servant, or if one has a deeper understanding of one's identity, all that much better. But when that's established, then all of these other transcendental elements of rasa mixed together, they then fortify a mellow within the heart of a devotee, and the taste of that mellow is very much relishable. So this is transcendental literature. It's not just a matter of sitting down and writing. And although Srila Prabhupada did want all of his followers to write literature, there has to be qualification on part of the author, qualification in terms of the traditional method in which devotees write. And whereas Srila Prabhupada did not emphasize to us all of the details that here Ramananda Roy is going through with Rupa Goswami, but certainly the basic principle of glorification of Krishna, the mention of Krishna's names, doing things according to Sadhu Shastra and Guru, following authoritative processes of presenting pastimes only in as much as they're based on and supported on philosophic principles, speaking according to or writing according to the adhikar of the audience. These things should be known and practiced by authors, and when they do, then what they write becomes Srimad Bhagavatam. Interesting enough, this morning as I was writing, I used one reference, which is a 1968 conversation Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. And one lady asked him, is there anyone similar to Joan of Arc in Srimad Bhagavatam? So she asked her, do you know who Joan of Arc is? Prabhupada said, yes. He says, well, is there anyone in Srimad Bhagavatam similar to her? And Prabhupada says, you want to see Joan of Arc in Srimad Bhagavatam? He replies, says, why don't you take Joan of Arc of Srimad Bhagavatam? In other words, Prabhupada was meaning that any activities of a devotee, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So if Joan of Arc was in relationship to God, if she was a devotee, then glorification of her or her relationship with God, that in itself becomes Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada says that Bhagavatam means Bhagavan. It means Bhagavat, or the person Bhagavat. So then Srila Prabhupada says that Bhagavat can be expanded in an unlimited number of ways. And he said you should expand Bhagavatam in this way. So following the basic principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, taking the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, the glorification of Krishna's names in relationship to other personalities and pastimes, and if that's incorporated in a Vaishnava's writing, then that becomes Bhagavatam. And then what to speak of actually our whole lives. Our lives are also meant to be Bhagavatam, because if we emulate the principles of pure devotion which are presented in Srimad Bhagavatam and live solely for the pleasure of Krishna, serving Krishna with our life, with our breath, with our energy, with our wealth, then our lives actually become Srimad Bhagavatam and become glorifiable. For instance, we see how there are so many biographies of Srila Prabhupada, Satsurup Maharaj's biography, Shruta Kirti Prabhu's, Hari Sori Prabhu, and that's just to name some. Why? Because Prabhupada was the person Bhagavatam. And so writing about him, glorifying his preaching, his teachings, his great sacrifice, his personality, that's all Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, Vaishnavas are meant to increase the storehouse of transcendental literature, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, and by that increase the nectarian ocean of transcendental bliss, and that then becomes Sankirtan. Writing and distributing books is the best form of Sankirtan. Anyway, these were some of the thoughts for today, and Hare Krishna.